Hey y'all, let's take a look at Luke chapter 22, and this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. We'll start in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it, just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. Well, all of this comes in the context of Passover. Of course, Jesus last week and his crucifixion take place during the Passover festival, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And remember that the Passover festival celebrates and commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. Remember in Luke 9:31, Jesus was discussing with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was discussing with Moses and Elijah the Exodus that he was about to undertake. So this is all happening here. The original Exodus, deliverance from slavery to Egypt, pointed to the greater Exodus that Jesus was about to undergo, delivering humanity from slavery to the fear of death and to sin. So Jesus is about to take that annual meal and to reconfigure it, to appropriate it and say, well, that meal was pointing to this meal, and now I want you to do something new with this meal that will point to the future. And note that Jesus says, "I greatly desired to share this meal with you." I think this just highlights that all throughout the Gospels, Jesus is not depicted as this sort of stoic, emotionally removed person. Note how touched he was by the woman who anoints him at Bethany. She does something very, maybe uncomfortable, emotionally uncomfortable, but Jesus is passionate. He is the one who, I believe, would have rejoiced and celebrated in David's leaping and dancing before him in the Old Testament. So we should never see Jesus as this emotionless stoic. He's passionate, and he says, "Guys, you don't understand how much I've longed to eat this Passover." He's a man of great passions and appreciating passionate responses to him. He says, "I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until this is all accomplished." Well, it's going to be accomplished in a week's time or in a few days' time, because after the resurrection, he eats with his disciples, and there's no indication that he abstains from the wine that he ate here at the meal. The Passover meal itself, if you've ever been a part of a Passover Seder, involves lamb, it involves cups of wine, actually 4 cups of wine, and it involves bitter herbs that symbolize the bitterness of slavery in Egypt. But Jesus here says that this is to be done in memorial, or as a memorial. Now this connects it with the memorial sacrifices in the Old Testament. And those sacrifices were not so that we would remember, they were done so that God would remember, because those sacrifices ascended in smoke to remind God. But then we should just remember that all of those sacrifices were for bringing the people of God into the presence of God. The whole question that is answered by the sacrificial system is, how will sinful Adam once again draw near to God? Well, the sacrificial system tells us that. And so Jesus' death and resurrection tell us that. And so communion, or the Lord's Supper that the people of God gather together to celebrate, is drawing near to God. And so memory, in this case, connects us to God and God to us. It is the very realistic language that Paul uses when he says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. When the people of God gather to celebrate communion, very truly, by the power of the Spirit, we are connected to God and we are present in heavenly places where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Son of God. In worship, the people of God ascend. And I think that helps us understand the mystery of what Jesus says about the cup and about the bread. First of all, notice that the language of, it says that Jesus gave thanks. That is where we get the word Eucharist, because the Greek word, I give thanks, is Eucharisto. So Jesus is giving thanks. That's where we get that language. But then he says, this is my body. And I cannot disentangle the history of this debate among Christians, but what I want to say is that we as Protestants should never, never take away from the great mystery that Jesus here articulates. He doesn't qualify it. He says, this is my body. He says of the cup, this is the new covenant. That's where we get the language of the New Testament, in my blood. And so Jesus indicates that in this meal, there is something far more than mere symbol going on, that somehow, in a similar way that Jesus, that God is present to us when he was in the flesh in the incarnation, God is present to us as we come to the Lord's table or to the Eucharist or to communion. And I think the main thing I want to stress here is that we should never take away from the mystery of this. Somehow, in faith and through the working of the Holy Spirit, we meet God when we come to the Lord's table, and we should never take away from that. In fact, I would like to read this hymn by Charles Wesley, who was the brother of John Wesley, who is trying to draw our attention to the great mystery and the great power of the Lord's Supper. The hymn says this: "Who shall say how bread and wine God into man convey? How the bread his flesh imparts? How the wine transmits his blood? Fill his faithful people's hearts with all the life of God." May we never take away from what God does in the Lord's Supper and from the way in which at that meal we are gathered to Jesus before the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit, and real grace and the real presence of God is conveyed into our lives. Amen.